Well, good afternoon. I almost said good morning. We have morning church, morning services in Eau Claire. So good afternoon. Greetings from the Eau Claire congregation. I think it's been a while since we visited, so good to see everybody. Well, I'd like to start today with a question. Have you ever received a coupon? Most of us have, right? Not just one of those 50-cent off dish soap coupons you clip out of the newspaper. I'm talking about something that you really are looking forward to, really excited about. From time to time, my family's a patron of Culver's, and our kids like to get a kids' meal. If you're not familiar with the Culver's kids' meal, they come with a coupon, one of these little token things, right? For a free ice cream, or if you save up these tokens, I think 10 of them, you get a free kids' meal, or you can save up for some other prizes as well. So it's it comes with a free token. Well, it's probably not free, right? I'm sure they bake into the price of the kids' meal these coupons. But anyway, the kids get really excited to go and redeem their coupon for some custard. They go up to the counter and trade in that piece of paper for a scoop of their desired treat. They redeem it. So today, let's consider what redemption means and why it matters to us. Got 3 points today on redemption. First thing we want to cover is what it means. What is redemption? What's the definition? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, redeem is a transitive verb with many meanings. It can mean to buy back, to repurchase, to get or to win back, to free from what distresses or harms, such as to free from captivity by payment of ransom, to extricate from or to help overcome something detrimental, to release from blame or to release from debt, to clear from the consequence of sin, to change for the better, to reform, to repair, to restore, to make good, to fulfill, to atone for, to expiate. Lots of meanings. But in summary, to be redeemed means to be bought back or to be freed from captivity, to be freed from blame or debt, often through a significant payment or sacrifice. The book of Hebrews tells us that with his own blood, he, Christ, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That's Hebrews 9, verse 12. So, that's what redemption is. Well, why is it important to us? Why should we care? Well, we were bought with a price, and unlike a kid's meal, the price was very steep, the very blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He redeemed us from the consequences of our sins, buying us back by paying a very steep ransom price. All have been deceived by Satan and are guilty of sin, but the blood of Christ more than covers the ransom price in full. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Not long ago, we celebrated the Days of Unleavened Bread, a time of reflection and putting out sin and incorrect teachings, a time of putting in our Savior and daily focusing on becoming more like him. And throughout these last few weeks, we've been preparing for Pentecost, which begins at sunset tonight. We've continued striving to glorify Christ in our body and in our spirit. How can we do that? How can we possibly become more like Christ each and every day? Well, God chose the first Pentecost after Jesus Christ's resurrection to pour out his Holy Spirit on 120 believers. That's Acts 1, verse 15. We're told that Jesus is the bread of life and that he is the very thing that sustains us. We cannot continue in sin. We must strive to be more like him every day. Of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. The subheading in my Bible says, "Dead to sin, alive to God." Romans 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" Verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what did we just read there? Right? We should be alive in Christ. The penalty for sin is death, full stop. Without Christ's sacrifice, we have no hope. There's no talking our way out of this. The passage we just read in Romans 6 tells us that we should be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Again, how can we do this? How is that even possible? Well, it also talks in that passage about putting away the old man that was a slave to sin and following Christ's example with the help of the Holy Spirit. When I was preparing this message, I kind of thought about what Christ said to the woman in John 8, verse 11 as well. He didn't say, it's okay, go and keep sinning. What did he say? He said, go and sin no more. Redemption matters to us because, again, without Christ's sacrifice, we don't have a chance. And the last point I wanted to cover here, we talked about what the definition is. We talked about why it's important to us. Point number three is that our Redeemer lives. He's a living sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the Word who has existed forever. And even Job knew this in the Old Testament. Turn with me, please, to Job 19. Job 19. At this point of Job's story, he's lost absolutely everything. He's being reprimanded by his so-called friends. And in his response, he utters these beautiful words in verses 25 through 27 of Job 19. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, for I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Job understood God's plan. Job knew that he had a Redeemer, and that long after his death, he would see his Redeemer in the flesh at the resurrection. Do our hearts also yearn for this future time? I'm going to read that passage once again. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, for I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. So in conclusion, I hope that the next time you pass a Culver's or think about a kids' meal coupon, you remember that our Redeemer lives. Again, redemption is to be saved or delivered from sin and its consequences through Jesus Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. And again, why does this redemption matter to us? Because the penalty for sin is death. Without Christ's sacrifice, we have no hope. Redemption matters to us because the blood of Christ more than covers the ransom price in full. And last but not least, our Redeemer lives. God has shared with us his plan of salvation for all of mankind, as Jelly would say. Like Job, we know that our Redeemer lives. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He came to the earth in human form, suffered an excruciating death, and after 3 days and three nights, he was resurrected and ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God the Father as our High Priest and Advocate. He's alive. He's our Advocate. The resurrected Jesus Christ now lives his life in every baptized member of the Church of God. Because I live, you also shall live. Right? John 14, 19. And actually, if you don't mind, turn with me over to John 14. Let's read a few verses in closing. In John 14, verses 23 through 26. John 14:19 says, "Because I live, you will also live." John 14, verses 23 through 26, continues on in this passage. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, what will he do? Keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Verse 24. "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." John tells us here that both the Father and he, Jesus, would live in the hearts and minds of his followers by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Since the resurrected Jesus Christ now lives in us, we are given the strength to conquer sin and receive eternal redemption. What a blessing, what a gift. "For I know that my Redeemer lives. Go and sin no more."